The range of speakers for the Pint of Science Festival is just phenomenal. And when we have senior lecturer in biomedical sciences from the School of Life Sciences, Dr. Neil Holden, you know that we're in for an absolute treat in terms of the Pint of Science delivery. Neil, good to connect with you today.
Good to meet you. Yeah.
So share with us what things in terms of viruses can people look forward to? Because I've always felt, you know, but bacteria sound worse than viruses, but at least you can eliminate bacteria, hopefully. Viruses, they stay with you forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people have a lot of confusion about the differences between viruses and bacteria. So my talk really will be going through what a virus actually is. How does it cause disease? Why can't we treat it with antibiotics? What's the difference between a virus and a bacteria? And those kind of things. And in fact, exploring ways in which viruses not only can cause disease, but also some new sort of techniques and technologies coming out where viruses might actually be helpful in terms of treatment of cancer, treatment of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and even how viruses have actually shaped our evolution.
I was going to raise the evolutionary factor because clearly, had it not been for, as I might say, the humble virus, they've kind of come along with us ever since the first amoebae started actually sort of forming in primordial swamps, really.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some ideas that viruses might have actually been the first, in inverted commas, form of life, because viruses, they're in that grey zone of whether they're a form of life or not. Ultimately, they're just a bit of genomic material that's trying to replicate itself. But absolutely, viruses have shaped our evolution in many different ways, both through in their cause of disease, they've helped shape through the survival of the fittest idea. But also, viruses have actually shaped our evolution in terms of there's a group of viruses that can actually integrate themselves within our genome. And now it's been suggested that that's helped shape mammalian evolution. It's actually how things like the placenta and placental birth actually came being is through a viral gene infecting a very early form of life.
And philosophically, I know there have been various ecologists who actually see human beings ourselves as viruses infecting the planet Earth, but that's perhaps for another philosophical debate, really. It's worth noting as well the curious way in which we have of anthropomorphising things, that computer viruses, although they are fundamentally separate from this, they actually can operate in a similar way. They hide, they sort of get smuggled in, and they can cause lots of damage.
Absolutely. And indeed, the whole idea behind computer viruses is they hijack your computer and turn it into something else. And viruses can do very similar things. They actually, when they enter a cell, they often hijack the cell machinery and change it from being a normal, healthy cell into becoming a virus factory. So they turn off the ways in which the cells produce proteins for ourselves and make it so that that cell only produces cells, proteins for the virus. It's very similar.
Well, certainly, as I recall from my A-level biology days, seeing the sort of images of viruses and thinking, right, okay, fine, potentially very scary stuff. But let's look at the good side. You've already talked about some of the ways in which maybe we can actually work with viruses. Maybe we can actually start developing a symbiotic relationship as opposed to a parasitical one. Is the prognosis and outlook good for sort of work within the field?
As you know, we come along with our research, we're starting to understand viruses a lot more. And basically, it's trying to identify those vulnerable pieces within a virus that we can actually target. Now, we are being very successful in treating viruses such as HIV. That's become very successfully treated through multi-drug therapies. But it's still a big struggle. Basically, because the virus is so tied into our own biology, that if we inhibit the virus, we're almost inhibiting our own biology. And that's what causes a lot of side effects. So really, it's trying to understand. Now, of course, vaccination plays a big role in terms of controlling viruses, and trying to develop new vaccines to make sure that we can actually control these viruses is obviously a big way in which we can actually help.
And just continuing the analogy with respect to technology, are computer programs effectively helping researchers actually deal in terms of modelling viruses, seeing how they actually work in an environment which actually doesn't say, well, we'll just test this, and if it works, the patient doesn't die, all's well?
Absolutely. We were starting to model the virus molecules a lot more. We can model the epidemiology of virus outbreaks, trying to understand how they move and how they spread in populations. It's an absolutely essential way in which we can actually control outbreaks. And
let's move on to the Pint of Science Festival. Again, I still sort of tend to think it should be surely a litre of science, but we stick with it with imperial measurements. Are you looking forward to the event?
Absolutely. I love talking about my science. It's a thing I've been passionate about. ever since I started getting into virology at the age of around 18, it's been something that I absolutely love talking about and love trying to expand knowledge and tell people and trying to increase people's understanding of the world around them.
Which is excellent. So a reminder, where can people actually hear you at the Pint of Science? Do you have details in terms of where when you're delivering the actual session itself?
So I'm in the Lion and Snake on Monday. I believe the session runs from 7:30 to about 9:30, and I'll be the second speaker in that session.
Well, for early podcast downloaders, as this will be going up actually on the Friday beforehand, you'll probably have those details. If, of course, you've been a tardy podcast downloader, then you need a time machine. But is there another way in which people can actually keep up to date with your research, presumably through the University of Lincoln website?
Absolutely. So we've each got an individual website. Each academic has an individual website. I do put my research up on there. And I'm always happy to hear from people. My contact details are there. If you've got any questions about viruses, feel free to contact me.
Neil Holden, a genuine pleasure and a delight, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon.
Thank you very much.